the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Thursday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. You know, even in this pandemic, there's still so much to be thankful for. From us here at AgNet West, we wish you and your family a warm and safe Thanksgiving today. In today's program, you'll hear a few reports relative to the economics of Thanksgiving and how farmers play their part. You'll also hear from Brian German, who is talking with us about an update to Prop 65 and why it's concerning for nut products. Taylor Hillman has details on the FarmLink project to help reduce food waste, and I'm starting off today's show with how the ag industry is better prepared for COVID. Let's jump right in. Agriculture is better prepared to deal with the second wave of COVID now rolling across the nation. The American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley says there are still some big challenges and unknowns that lie ahead. But even with those unpredictable challenges, Walmsley says after months of safety measures and tens of billions of dollars in virus aid, producers and processors are better prepared for the next wave of COVID.
We think and hope we're prepared from the lessons learned earlier this year, you know, through the supply chain to be better positioned to react. All that's obviously an unknown, and having, the assistance that's needed to keep folks fed and store shelf stock, we hope Congress will be partners with us.
More relief in the form of a stimulus check is also unknown, but in the meantime, Walmsley says farmers have done what they always do, and that's adapt.
We've learned a lot. We've adapted over the last, 7 or 8 months. And farmers are making, you know, those decisions in this new world when they didn't have that opportunity before. I mean, our farmers have still been farming. I mean, we're still out there producing, working hard every day. It's, you know, I would once again point to the broader supply chain challenges that I think we've adapted to and working with our partners in the supply chain to be better prepared.
And as consumption again moves back towards supermarkets from restaurants and producers once again face possible processing slowdowns, plants and workers are also more ready to fight the virus than before. NAFB contributed to this report. And now here's Taylor Hillman with more agriculture news.
A newly formed nonprofit aided by a major agricultural company is helping to reduce produce waste. It's not a new problem. Some crops that growers produce never make it out of the field for a variety of reasons. The issue was amplified in 2020 when COVID-19 pandemic safety precautions shut down the food service industry. That's when James Knopf decided to create the FarmLink project.
So we started the FarmLink project just back in mid-April when you were seeing those images of mile-long lines at food banks, and at the same time, entire produce fields were having to go to waste because of closures from schools, hotels, and restaurants. You know, we started by just literally connecting those farms that had the excess and bringing it to food banks in need. But kind of like we talked about, this problem isn't new. And while COVID has highlighted this, you know, this challenge exists long before. And so we're hoping to address kind of this systemic problem. You know, farmers, they're amazing, just an amazing group. And it's like, okay, let's figure out how to do this together. If it weren't for them, we never would have been able to do this.
Valent USA joined the fight to help the new project, and Knopf welcomed the support.
Not only did their employees put together a grassroots campaign to help get over $30,000, over 300,000 meals for this region, but they're also providing strategic guidance support, helping us really think through the problem and make sure that we can really support farmers and food banks.
Growers can get involved by going to farmlinkproject.org. Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
And Taylor Hillman will have that full interview later in the show today, but for now, here's back-to-back reports with Brian German.
Officials have made a formal proposal for acrylamide limits for nut producers under Prop 65 rules. President and CEO of the Western Agricultural Processors Association, Roger Isom, said that they've submitted comments and are waiting to see what the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment decides.
We've asked for a chance to look at that level. We're not sure that there's really a lot of science base behind it. It was based on some settlements on previous lawsuits over acrylamide from almonds, settlements obviously that we're not privy to. So, you know, we don't know a whole lot of detail, and we're not sure that they're adequate or reasonable levels to be set at. You know, we appreciate what they're doing and trying to find some way, a level to put out there that would be acceptable, but there's got to be some more thought and discussion behind the setting of that level. And so the comment deadline was just a couple weeks ago. Those have been submitted. We'll see kind of what their response is. It's just a waiting game at this point.
Isom noted there's more scientific research needed to support the proposed level of 225 parts per billion for acrylamide.
Part of the problem is that there have been a couple of studies, but it's not widespread. And it's more studies on what is the level that we see in roasted almonds or almond butter, but not so much on what is the acceptable level, tying the two together, that it, you know, what's the safe level that I can be exposed to, and then trying to, you know, back that as to, okay, what's the level that we would see on roasted almonds, and then some assumptions on, you know, how many almonds do I eat or how much almond butter do I consume? That's the missing link for us anyway, is trying to tie the two together and get a better understanding as to what that level means.
The USDA Forest Service recently announced a final rule has been published that will implement important changes to the National Environmental Policy Act. The changes to the NEPA regulations include additional tools and flexibility for addressing land management issues. The changes are part of a broader effort to help better serve the American people. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue said the changes will ensure the appropriate amount of environmental analysis for projects, locations, and conditions. The changes establish new or revised categorical exclusions, which will eliminate redundancies. Previous environmental analyses can now be used to support new decisions where appropriate. Perdue notes the changes will improve the ability to maintain and repair infrastructure such as roads, trails, campgrounds, and other facilities in national forests. The updated regulations were published last week in the Federal Register and are set to take effect immediately. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. And we are heading out for a quick break at the moment, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman when we return. Once again, we'd just like to say happy Thanksgiving. And if you'd like to review any of these reports, maybe because you were too busy cooking today, you can always head on over to our website, www.agnetwest.com, for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. And now here's Brian German with more agriculture news.
Scholarship opportunities are available for agricultural students in post-secondary education. Eligible students are invited to compete for up to $15,000 in total scholarship awards through the Accelerating a Generation Syngenta Scholarship Program. University students can apply for 6 regional awards of $2,500 each, which are now offered in partnership with the National FFA organization. For a chance to win, students will need to complete the online application form within the FFA scholarship portal by January 14th. University students and incoming freshmen pursuing bachelor's or associate degrees in crop-related agricultural disciplines are eligible to compete for the Syngenta scholarships. Applicants must be U.S. residents enrolled as of fall 2021 in an accredited agriculture program at a land-grant university. FFA membership is not required, and scholarship recipients will be announced in the spring. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, has brought a bit of uncertainty for not only turkey producers, but also retailers and shoppers. Gary Crawford has the story.
This Thanksgiving season for turkey producers, retailers, and shoppers,
there's a fair amount of uncertainty,
mainly because of the COVID situation. Agriculture Department livestock analyst Shale Shagham says there are a lot of questions. Will family gatherings be smaller this year or canceled? Will that affect how many and what size turkeys will be bought at what price? Shagham says stocks of frozen hens were about 17% below this time a year ago, wholesale prices 14 cents higher. And yet, he says not only are more stores running specials on turkeys, but this week,
we're seeing average prices on featuring at about 84 cents, which is about the same price as we saw last year.
84 cents a pound, but with smaller holiday gatherings, will we be buying as many pounds as last year? Turkey producers may have considered this because as far as the weights of the turkeys being produced,
for the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, there have been a number of weeks where those weights have been below a year earlier.
Which would work, since some of us may not need as big a bird this year as in the past. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Well, in other news, details are coming out about a wrongful death suit against Tyson Foods and its Waterloo, Iowa processing plant. The suit alleges that during the initial stages of COVID-19, the company ordered employees to report to work while supervisors privately wagered money on the number of workers who would be sickened by the virus. The Iowa Capital Dispatch says the lawsuit alleges that Tyson Foods is guilty of a willful and wanton disregard for workplace safety. In a written statement, Tyson said it was saddened by the loss of any Tyson team member and sympathized with their families. The company won't comment on specific aspects of the suit, but did say its top priority is health and safety of its workers, and they've implemented a host of protective measures at Waterloo and other facilities that meet or exceed CDC and OSHA guidelines for preventing COVID-19. They note that at least 5 Waterloo plant employees have died from COVID. According to the local county health department, over 1,000 workers at the plant are more than a third of the total workforce contracted the virus. And USDA reminds dairy producers the deadline to enroll in the Dairy Margin Coverage, or DMC, for 2021 is nearing. It'll be Friday, December 11th. To learn more, visit this website, farmers.gov. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, the average cost of a Thanksgiving Day dinner is less than $50. Just as holidays roll around every year, American Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Del Moore says so does Farm Bureau's annual Thanksgiving Day survey.
Well, this Thanksgiving Day survey, we've been doing it well over 3 decades, and it's something that I'm fascinated how it is one of those kind of annual things that occur, like the ag show that you are so familiar with. If it doesn't happen, people are like, what is going on? And so this year, it's Thanksgiving dinner is going to be less costly for, you know, the families going across. Part of that due to how turkey prices have come down, which is obviously for most of the primary component. But it's going to offset a bit by where ham prices, because a lot of families, you know, have ham. Some, you know, have quite a smorgasbord out there. And how they handle it virtually, you know, in the connectivity that they're going to have.
The average cost of a Thanksgiving Day dinner this year for 10 people is right around the $47 mark. This is about $2 less than last year. According to Farm Bureau, this year's national average cost was calculated using more than 230 surveys completed with pricing data from all 50 states. But due to the pandemic, Farm Bureau volunteer shoppers were encouraged to check prices online using grocery stores' apps and websites. They looked for the best possible prices without taking advantage of special promotional coupons or purchase deals. The shopping list for Farm Bureau's informal survey hasn't changed since it started in 1986, and it includes turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, rolls with butter, peas, cranberries, a veggie tray, coffee and milk, and Moore's favorite dessert.
So from our standpoint, it's a service that we provide. It's an opportunity to basically go down a fairly lengthy list of, you know, the crops that the men and women I'm privileged to work for raise that end up on that Thanksgiving table, of which for me, one of the most important ones are pumpkins. This pumpkin pie with whipped cream just kind of makes Thanksgiving official.
To view the full survey, visit fb.org. Stay tuned to AgNet West and this radio station as we'll have follow-up Thanksgiving Day reports later in the show. But for right now, we are heading out for a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. And now here's more agriculture news with Taylor Hellman.
A newly formed nonprofit aided by a major agricultural company is helping to reduce produce waste. It's not a new problem. Some crops that growers produce never make it out of the field for a variety of reasons. The issue was amplified in 2020 when COVID-19 pandemic safety precautions shut down the food service industry. That's when James Knopf decided to create the FarmLink Project. We're now talking with the FarmLink Project CEO, James Knopf. James, you guys have partnered with Valent USA. Very interesting project here. We'll get to it in just a minute. But tell me a little bit about the FarmLink Project. What do you guys do?
So we started the FarmLink Project just back in mid-April when you were seeing those images of mile-long lines at food banks, and at the same time, entire produce fields were having to go to waste because of closures from schools, hotels, and restaurants. You know, we started by just literally connecting those farms that had the excess and bringing it to food banks in need. But kind of like we talked about, this problem isn't new. And while COVID has highlighted this, you know, this challenge exists long before. And so we're hoping to address kind of this systemic problem.
Yeah, I think, you know, we reported on it too. You had some lettuce growers especially just leave the crops in the field because they couldn't get rid of it. And there definitely was a need there. Was it a challenge to get everything going?
You know, at the beginning, it was really difficult, but it's, you know, farmers, they're amazing, just an amazing group. And it's like, okay, let's figure out how to do this together. If it weren't for them, we never would have been able to do this. So I'm grateful for their support.
You know, I know that a lot of growers would be interested in doing that and getting, you know, some sort of an outlet for food that they aren't going to be able to move. But they don't know where to start. And that's kind of what you guys are doing.
Exactly. I mean, we make it as simple. You go to farmlink.org and we will immediately connect you. Like it doesn't matter if it needs to be moved in an hour, a day, if it's 2 weeks from now, if it's like, hey, I just want to have this going. So if I have it in the future, I'm ready. That's what we're built for. Whether it's a phone call, text, an email, like try to make it as easy as possible for, you know, people to do the right thing.
So where does Valent come in on this? How have they helped you guys out?
Valent has been extremely helpful. Not only did their employees put together a grassroots campaign to help get over $30,000 over 300,000 meals for this region, but they're also providing strategic guidance, support, helping us really think through the problem, and make sure that we can really support the people that we set out to, farmers and food banks.
Are you guys doing this just in California, or you hope to get a little bigger?
Yes, we are actually already operating now in 45 different states. So it started in California, but has, like we said, this problem's everywhere. It's 20 billion pounds a year that's going to waste either on the farm, being left in the field, or it's going to the landfill.
Wow, you guys are not just California. I had my information wrong there then.
They're doing our best.
Good, good. And you know, when the COVID situation goes away, as you mentioned a couple times now, this is still going to be something. So have you met any opposition? Is there anybody who maybe hasn't been as open as you would think to this?
You know, that is the surprising thing, because it takes a while to build trust with someone, right? You know, that's like the most important thing, is building that relationship with the farmer and really kind of it being like a situation like, really, you're going to do all this for free? And we're like, yeah, and we're a nonprofit. And it's building that trust. And once we have that, it's like, it's the best feeling in the world, I think, for everyone. But that takes time, and we're not going to cut corners, you know, to build that trust and build those relationships.
Now, growers are skeptical. You're right. They are skeptical. And then they think, you know, people are selling snake oil. And I hate using that term, but that's the truth. And it takes them to see sometimes that there are some groups out there that are trying to do the right thing and help multiple industries at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, too many people have come along and say, I have your solution and pay me all this money to address it. It's like, no wonder that you don't have that immediate trust. Like that's where we're just trying to fill in the gap and say, hey, let our actions speak louder than our words. We're not going to charge you. We're going to make this economically viable so you don't lose a cent on this. That's the big thing for us.
Very good. If people listening to this are interested, if growers are interested, what's the best way to get started?
Best way to get started, just go to farmlink.org. You'll see my phone number there, my email. Directly reach out to me, someone on our team. We will be back to you within like 10 minutes and we can make this happen.
Again, James Kanoff, CEO of the FarmLink Project, a new initiative that is helping with food waste in partnership with Valent USA. James, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time as well.
Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
Thanks, Taylor. And in more Thanksgiving Day news, the annual Thanksgiving price survey by the American Farm Bureau Federation shows lower prices for a traditional Thanksgiving meal this year. Michael Clements shares the data behind that decline.
The Farm Bureau survey tracking the cost of traditional Thanksgiving dinner items dropped roughly 4% from last year. AFBF Chief Economist John Newton says the cost of an average Thanksgiving dinner continues to be less than $50.
This year, our volunteer shoppers across the country found that the average price for a Thanksgiving dinner for a family of 10 came in at $46.90, down about 4% from what we saw last year and the lowest level we've seen since 2010. On the turkey side, the most important component of the meal, a 16-pound bird came in at $19.39. That's down nearly 7% from last year with an average price of $1.21 per pound.
Newton says the survey reflects changes in commodity prices this year.
On the dairy side, we saw whipping cream come in at $1.74 for a half pint. That's down 16%. And I think that reflects what we've seen happen in the dairy industry this year with butter prices and cream prices having fallen pretty significantly from last year. A lot of butter moved through the restaurant channel, and with COVID-19, we've seen that demand diminished and those prices move lower.
Newton says the results of the survey shows a traditional Thanksgiving dinner remains affordable for consumers.
I think what we see is Thanksgiving continues to be affordable, less than $5 per person. So I think consumers have the luxury of continuing to get that 16-pound bird or even a larger bird and still add some additional fixings on the side, maybe a ham, mashed potatoes, or green beans to make that dinner more special.
Find the complete survey results at fb.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
And it is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and Thanksgiving Day reports when we return. Don't forget, if you missed any of our morning shows or simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can always subscribe to our podcast and have statewide agriculture news at your convenience. Just head on over to your favorite podcast downloading app and search Farm City Newsday. It's available for both Apple and Android devices. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. If you intend to cook that stuffing in the turkey, experts say you need to be very careful about how you do it. USDA's Gary Crawford talks with Meredith Cruthers from the USDA Meat and Poultry Hotline in this report.
While most of us will spend this Thanksgiving relaxing, having some food and watching some football with nobody in the stands, the folks at the Agriculture Department's Meat and Poultry Hotline, the number of which we'll give you in a minute, will be hard at work. Yes, answering questions from sometimes desperate holiday meal preparers.
Yep, we are getting ourselves ready to answer calls rapid fire.
Oh, and they will be coming rapid fire.
Thanksgiving kind of is a high-pressure holiday a lot of times.
So the hotline team will be on duty to help people.
We are open on Thanksgiving Day. This year we'll be open for phone calls and chats. We're open from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
So if you have questions Thanksgiving Day about safely preparing that meal, call this number, 1-888-MP-HOTLINE, 1-888-MP-HOTLINE. For live chat, go online to ask.usda.gov. That's ask.usda.gov and have a safe Thanksgiving. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And as we've heard throughout the show today, that the cost of the annual Thanksgiving Day meal for the average consumer is less than last year, about $2. Let's take a listen to this report regarding the farmer's share of the food dollar and how it, too, is slightly lower this year. Michael Clements has more in this report.
For every dollar Americans spend on their Thanksgiving dinner this year, farmers and ranchers will earn approximately 11.9 cents, according to National Farmers Union. This marks a slight decline from 2019 when farmers claimed 12.15 cents of the Thanksgiving food dollar. NFU says that is attributed to higher grocery bills. In the last 12 months, the food prices have risen nearly 4%, far outpacing the 1.4% rate of overall inflation. The rise in food prices couldn't come at a worse time for American families, according to NFU President Rob LaRue.
Ordinarily, Thanksgiving is a time to gather with our loved ones and enjoy a big meal. But for many Americans, the typical food-filled get-together won't be possible, and not just because of public health concerns. With millions out of work and no additional government support in sight, the cost of traditional holiday foods may simply be out of reach for some families.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, NFU has been pushing legislators to expand the nutrition safety net in order to offset an abrupt rise in food insecurity.
As cases continue to rise across the country and safety measures are put in place, it's clear we have a long ways to go with economic recovery. In the meantime, it is a moral imperative that we ensure every single American has access to the food they need. By far the most cost-effective and efficient way legislators can achieve that is by expanding SNAP benefits.
Even though consumers are paying 4% more for food, almost none of that is being passed on to farmers and ranchers. Instead, it's being captured by the processors, packers, distributors, and retailers in between. LaRue says the disparity is largely due to the overwhelming market power held by the largest beef packers.
Lax antitrust enforcement has allowed just four corporations to take over 85% of beef slaughtering and packing in the United States. As a result, those companies are able to manipulate farmers' and consumers' prices to their advantage. And as we've seen again and again, they do just that. The key to ensuring farmers a fair price isn't by charging consumers astronomical prices. It's breaking up these companies and restoring competition to the market.
Learn more online at nfu.org. Michael Clements reporting.
And rounding out today's program with the California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News Report. Throughout the California food business, farmers and marketers have been trying to gauge changing demand for holiday-related items. The head of the California Poultry Federation says people have been buying more turkey breasts and fewer large turkeys as they've downsized their holiday gathering. If more people cook at home, demand for dairy products and other foods could change, though. Wine marketers say they expect a strong fourth quarter per usual.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West.